Well, thanks, Judith, and thanks very much to Cedar for the invitation to discuss this critically important topic. And I think I'd summarise my feedback in four key facts. First of all, I'll state that I'm an engineer and a businessman, and from my point of view, I don't think I could run a refinery on the economic model basis that Dr. Gruen suggests, because we're just not used to that degree of uncertainty and inaccuracy in our running our business. But nevertheless, I think we do recognise that economic modelling is far from an exact science, and I think we need to frame our considerations of moving forward with emissions trading in that context. I mean, we're not wanting to criticise Treasury because the modelling is inaccurate, but we've seen tremendous variations in terms of forecasts versus actuality. I think David does emphasise that the modelling is not necessarily an exact science. And that's an important consideration to have up front, because it doesn't necessarily give us all the answers. The second fact I think is important is that the forecasts rely on assumptions, and there's many key assumptions. And one in particular from our industry that I think is very important is the Treasury cost assessment of emissions trading relies very heavily on the development and wide-scale deployment of carbon capture and storage, or CCS technology. At ExxonMobil, we've been involved in research and development of applied carbon handling technologies such as CCS for about 30 years, for more than 30 years. We are partnering one of the longest running CCS projects in the world in Norway. And in Australia, we are part of the Gorgon LNG project, of course, and we're pursuing the largest commercial scale CCS project in the world. While we certainly see CCS as a very promising abatement option, there are still formidable costs and technical barriers to the commercial scale deployment of CCS. For example, the carbon capture at a coal plant is technically immature. Currently, there are no commercial CO2 capture technologies operating in Australia in the coal-fired power industry, and as far as I'm aware, not neither globally. There are some demonstration plants. And while CCS technology in the oil and gas sector is well advanced, it is very expensive. Just as an example, the cost of CCS for the Gorgon LNG project is estimated at $1 billion. That's just for the carbon capture. That's just for the carbon storage part of it. So we have some concerns about the assumptions in terms of carbon capture and storage. I think the third point I'd like to make is the Treasury modelling of sectorial impacts for ETS is limited and, I would say, inadequate for oil and gas. Just to put this in perspective, at a carbon price of $23 a tonne was suggested as the first year number for Australia. This will have a substantial impact on the oil and gas industry. In the case of my industry in refining, that would effectively erode 50% of our average earnings over the last 7 years. That's a tremendous hit to our business. And indeed, as that carbon cost moves to $50 a tonne, which it never would, it would threaten the viability of the local industry. And that's because, at this stage, imports are not subject to the same carbon cost. In the case of LNG, a carbon price of $20 to $40 a tonne in 2010, escalating over time, is projected to cut the industry's output by about half. And that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense when LNG is a great fuel in terms of reducing carbon both here in Australia and overseas. So unfortunately, the Treasury analysis of the impacts on the oil and gas sector is, I think, very limited. In fact, we have some contradictory pieces in the report which no doubt David can help us answer, I hope, hopefully down the track. But on one part, it notes that the petroleum refining industry may contract, yet on another table, it forecasts an output growth of 88% over current levels by 2050, and that doesn't seem to be accurate. So, David, we'll need to talk to you at some stage to understand that further. The fourth fact is that fuel demand can be met entirely from existing overseas operations. Treasury concludes that ETS will not force Australian industry offshore. Let me tell you, it'll close Australian industry. We won't need to force it offshore. There'll be plenty of capacity available overseas. So long as that capacity is not subject to carbon taxes, it'll mean a major competitive disadvantage to the Australian refining industry. In fact, for those who are not aware, about 30% of Australia's fuel demand is currently imported, so it's relatively easy to turn up that notch based on the economics. And our refining industry in this country is very, very sensitive and competing with imports, so therefore it's relatively easy to switch from one to the other. So quite simply put, providing Asian refineries with a competitive advantage over the Australian industry will only place pressure on our local industry, reduce production and potentially eventually close. And frankly, I don't think that's a particularly good outcome given it's a high-tech, high-value-add industry that certainly in my case I see quite a good future for. We certainly do not want to see ourselves competitively disadvantaged with other countries. Certainly if those other countries bring in carbon costs like we would face, that would be a competitive level playing field and that would be fine. But I haven't seen too many Indians or Chinese or Singaporeans talking about carbon taxes, unfortunately, in the near term. So to summarise, given the limitations of economic modelling, we must, I think, be cautious about making decisions without considering practical impacts on industries and job sectors. The key assumption that carbon capture and storage technology will be widely deployed in the near term is ambitious, to say the least, and underestimates the formidable cost and technical challenges. In the absence of a global scheme, carbon prices suggested will significantly impact the Australian petroleum industry and, in the case of refining, significantly threaten the long-term viability of our business. And I'd emphasise the Australian transport fuel demand can be met by existing overseas industry. What we simply would do is reduce local production, maybe stop local production, shift carbon emissions offshore, shift high-tech, high-value jobs offshore, jobs that, frankly, have a good reason to stay here because we can be economically viable. And that would not change carbon emissions globally. So I think that's the challenge that we need to think very carefully in terms of applying emissions trading and carbon reduction programs going forward. Thanks very much.